don't you spend just a few moments and touch him? Come on, don't just have church, just have some Jesus. Come on, touch the Lord for a moment with your faith and your confidence and your worship and your praise and your song. Hallelujah. I believe Paul and Silas touched God that night in that prison. They were locked up, but they still had the ability to touch Jesus. And that virtue, that power, that life force came into that prison house, and there was an earthquake, and there was deliverance for everybody. Hallelujah. Something supernatural happens when you and I decide to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you sing a song like that from your heart and your soul to the Lord, amen, I believe it touches his heart. I believe it moves him. Oh, my God, you're everything to me. You're everything to me. One writer said, he is my all in all. Amen. Ooh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like just getting alone with God right now. My Lord, my Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Amen. Affirm what is going on right now. Let it be a witness of the Spirit in your life. Praise God, praise God. That's right. Give the Lord a wave offering. Come on, lift those hands. Give him a wave offering tonight. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. He is here. You can touch him. If you touch him, you'll never be the same. It's thick in here right now. It's thick in here right now. Praise God. Come on, taste the Lord. Taste his presence. Experience the freshness. Amen. The freshness of his wonderful presence. Hallelujah. The time of refreshing is now. Amen. The time of your refreshing is now. God knows what you need, and he's responding to your need right now. We need a refreshing. We need that fresh touch. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, it was love that lifted me. Come on, shout. It was love that lifted me out of a miry pit. Praise God. He cleaned my heart, my soul, my mind. He put my feet on a rock, on a foundation. Hallelujah. Put me into a kingdom that cannot be moved. Praise be to our God who reigns forever. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I feel Jesus in this house. Amen. It's just here. It's just here right now. Amen. And I'm so glad to be able to feel God's presence. Amen. I like to know that he's holding my hand. I want to talk tonight and try my best to convey to you a spiritual truth that has helped me tremendously. If that fan puts you to sleep, you can turn it off. If you guys start nodding, I'm going to turn it off. So you guys help me keep watch. It's always the front couple pews because they're getting that fan and that noise and, you know. So I'll do my best not to bore you. I want to minister beginning in the book of 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. And I will begin reading verse number 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm glad some of you men showed up. I thought I was going to have to preach a ladies' conference tonight. Praise God. Amen. I feel my helps here. Praise God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Are you ready? It says, beloved or beloved, let us love one another. I wonder why he would say that to people who are in the church. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is two things. Number one, born of God. And number two, knoweth God. Two qualifying elements by which we love others. Is number one, we're born of God. I think you know what that means. And number two, after we're born, we continue knowing Him. A lot of people go to school and learn about Him. In fact, you can know the Bible and not know the God of the Bible. So there is a vast difference between knowing about Him and actually knowing Him. So he says, and everyone that loveth is, number one, born of God, and secondly, they knoweth God. I want to preach tonight, or teach, however it comes out, on this subject, or I will give it this title, rather, the heart of Christianity. The heart of Christianity. Let me just kind of walk around a little bit, make sure everybody's here. I see you physically, but I want to connect with your spirit tonight. I want us to connect with the Spirit of God and hear what the Spirit of God will say. Amen. God's talking. That's a fact. The question is, are we listening? Hallelujah. I feel Jesus right now. Let me minister to you on this subject, the heart of Christianity. Let's pray so that we can be very receptive to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Amen. Talk to the Lord. Would you do it? Praise God. Praise God. Oh. Oh. We're going to learn about the heart of God tonight. Lord, manifest your word. Expound to us what we need to understand about this thing we call Christianity. Oh, God. My Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We submit, Lord. We lay our lives down that we can be changed by your word and by the presence of God which dwells in us. I want to understand the heart of all of this. I don't want to just hide behind some label and some name such as apostolic or Pentecostal or Christian. I want to really know what this is all about. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The heart of Christianity. Amen, amen. If you know the Lord's with us tonight, would you clap for a few seconds? Praise God. Man, we could just have church right now. Praise God. I feel, I don't know, it's just incredible what I feel. I'm doing my best, Brother Walcott, to to really exercise restraint, because I just feel like rolling on the floor right now. I feel such an awesome presence of God. I'm going to try to minister to us. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Of course, as we've stated, these are the qualifying elements by which we love others. Number one, we are truly born of God. Okay? And secondly, we know or continue to know God. Now, if you look at the word love, it's originally agape, and that's the same word used for charity in Corinthians 13 and in other chapters and verses in the Bible. It means affection, it means goodwill, benevolence, and it's the very love of God, the love that comes from God. The Bible tells us that if we are to love others, it is because we're born of God. We're born of God who is Spirit, and we continue to know God. Knowing God means that you stay in close fellowship with Him. It means that you are continually acquainted with Him. You know and understand Him through that personal, intimate connection, that communion, that fellowship. And of course, it is on a consistent basis. Amen. Somebody say this: I want to know the Lord better every day. Amen. And He has given us that privilege to know Him. The next verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, says, He that loveth not, okay, in other words, the individual that does not manifest or demonstrate or exhibit God's love, this is why: because he knoweth not God. You see, you can be born of God and neglect to continue knowing him. And knowing him is through relationship. I've been married 20 years and I know my wife now better than I did when I first met her. Somebody say, in time, you can know someone. But he tells us that if we love not, then it's because we know not God. And I say it one more time: you can be born again of the water and of the Spirit and never grow into a knowledge, a personal experiential knowledge of God. Now, you can know His touch and not know Him. Come on, somebody. You can know what He feels like and not know Him. And from time to time, you can recognize that He's speaking to you and still not know Him. You see, knowing God is a continual thing. It is an everyday affair. It is a relationship. It is a fellowship. It is a communion between ourselves and our God. The word love or agape or charity, the Bible says of love, in case you were wondering, that love edifies, love builds up, love repairs things, it fixes, it puts things back together. Love saves, it delivers, it extends mercy and grace. Love forgives, love is fearless, love is long-suffering, love is kind, love is patient. Love is not envious and it is not jealous. It doesn't brag and it doesn't boast. It is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking or self-promoting. Love is not easily angered. Love is not resentful. Love does not hold grudges. Love delights in righteousness. Love rejoices in truth. And love endures all things. And these things that I have just mentioned today describe our God, because God is love. Amen. Love, which is God, edifies, he builds up, he improves, he strengthens, he repairs. Amen. He's not envious, but the Bible says he's long-suffering, he's fearless, he forgives, he extends mercy, he extends grace. In fact, without love, there would be no grace, there would be no mercy, there would be no faith, there would be no manifestation of Jesus Christ, there would be no salvation, there would be no redemption, there would be no fellowship with God without love. Before anything happened as far as salvation is concerned, it's because love made up his mind that I'm going to do something about our separation, about our disagreement. And of course, salvation is a means whereby man is brought back into the paradise of God, to know him, to have fellowship with him, to have communion with him. Somebody said amen. Verse number 11 and 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now I'm just, when I first read that, I read it like this. Beloved, if God so loved us, then shouldn't we ought to love one another? When I read that, I didn't see that it was a duty or an obligation or a job or some hard task or a burden, but as something natural that should flow out of your relationship with God and should enable you and empower you to just simply love one another, to extend mercy, to forgive, to be patient, to be kind to one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, comma, God dwells in us. That word dwell means that he remains consistent in us. Now, I'm going to give you the secret to living for God and to live for him well and to please him. And it's not some extra, you know, biblical doctrine. It's just simply understanding what is written. And the Spirit of the Word has revealed it, and knowledge has increased. And because knowledge has increased, knowledge must be conveyed, must be given. And so I'm just, you know, the one to give it at this particular moment. So here it is. If we love one another, this is why. Because God dwells in us. That means he lives in us. He abides in us. He has his way in us. If you look at the word dwell, it also means to remain as one or to influence. So as God dwells in us, as God remains consistent, as God remains the influencer in our lives, then we are able to love one another. You ask the question, well, how do I love them when I don't like them? I don't agree with them, and they've mistreated me. They have, they have hurt my feelings. They upset me. They robbed me, and so forth. And you ask the quote, well, how do I love a person like this? And he's giving you the answer. By allowing God to dwell in you, live in you, be consistent in you, amen, and to be the influencer in your life. Amen. I know that I'm not always under the influence of God. I know that. I don't think you are either. But the word is true. He says, if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. That means his love can be fully expressed. His love comes into full maturity. That means His love becomes full in your life. And when you look at the person, Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, you see an individual who embodied and who personified the very love of God. In fact, we understand the love of God by observing the life and the ministry and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ Himself. We see the love of God manifested because of the death of the human being, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. He was a man. He did die. But something was living in Him. Something was powerful in Him. I'm not talking about this ability. I'm not talking about authority. I'm talking about the power of love. The power to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The power to say to a man who was guilty, he was worthy of judgment and death, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm talking about a personified love, love in a body. And we have seen it. We have heard His voice. Somebody say, Jesus loved us. And He loves me now. Say, He loves me now. As the Lord dwells in us by His Spirit and, of course, His living Word, and as we allow Him to be who He is and to do everything that He wants to do, then the process of perfecting love is underway. It is in progress. And let me just share this example with you tonight. When you come into the church and you come into the kingdom of God, you feel good. Is that right? I think most of us can say amen, that when we were born again of the water and the Spirit, we felt really good. We felt cleansed. And when we received the Holy Ghost, it was an incredible encounter and experience that we had with the Lord. But about a week or two later, when you kind of wake up, no, it's actually the next day, the next morning, you wake up and you realize that you're still in a real world, a troubled world, a difficult life full of problems, people with problems, good and bad, evil on every hand, it seems. But yet you have this experience. You have the Holy Ghost in you. And you go to your job or on your school campus and you realize that just because you have Jesus doesn't mean that you just automatically love everybody. But you try, am I right? And we prayed the prayer, Lord, help me to love them. How many has prayed that prayer? Lord, help me to love them. All right. I'm going to teach, preach, communicate, whatever has to be done. So we understand that in order to love people, it takes time. It takes yielding to God. In fact, when I go to prayer and when I submit to God and repent and humble myself before the Lord, and when I experience His touch and His working in my life, most of the time when I leave that prayer meeting, I leave with a change of attitude. I leave, amen, with the ability to forgive and to extend mercy and to love people that I don't really know. Hallelujah. God knows us and He still loves us. So how do we love people that we don't even know? It's easy to love mama because mama's a good cook and mama washes my clothes and mama takes care of me. And it's easy to love daddy because daddy's there. He works a job and he puts food on the table. It's easy, you know, to love your spouse and to love your kids. But how do you love somebody you don't even know? How do you love your neighbor? I don't even know my neighbor. Come on, somebody. I don't know the person that's 10 doors down from me. How do I love them? Jesus Christ today is giving us the ingredients whereby we can love others, and that is allowing Him to dwell in us, to remain in us, to move in us, to work in us. It's God's love that empowers us to love a world, amen, that is contrary to the love of God, to the righteousness of God, to the things of God. Amen. So this love for others will grow as your relationship with God grows. In fact, if your relationship with God does not grow, your love for others will not grow. Can I get a witness? Are you hearing me? Amen. So if you and I are faithfully loving others in deed and in truth, the Bible says don't love in word but in deed and in truth. And that means loving people that we do not even agree with. How do you do that? Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The Bible is speaking to us tonight on how we are to love in deed and in truth people we don't even agree with. It is because you and I are learning to abide in Him, dwell in Him, and allowing Him to continually dwell and live and be Himself in us. Do you think Jesus loved everybody? Then do we claim to be the body of Christ? As we grow and as we are being perfected, amen, then we too should be able to love everybody. If He loved everybody, He expects His body to love everybody. Amen. I'm telling you, we can't do it in the flesh. We can't do it with intellect. We can't do it as a job, a task, or some responsibility. We do it because God's love is abiding in us in spirit, by the Spirit. God fills us with His love as He lives and dwells and resides and makes His abode with us. And of course, there is a surplus, so there's an overflow of love. In fact, you can leave a church service where you have experienced that touch of the Almighty God in your heart and your spirit. And you can go and there can be someone who just looks the opposite of you, and they look so different, and they're all marked up and pierced up, and they look like they're on drugs, and it looks like they're selling their soul and their life away. But because of that work that happened in your life and that church service, you're able to go to them and you're able to smile and not judge them and not criticize them and not look down at them, because there's something on the inside of you that is trying to reach this world. No matter what this world has become, God still loves the people in it. God is going to use you and I to reach them as we allow Him to dwell in us and live in us and make His abode with us. He's going to use us to win this world. Amen. How does that happen? Well, Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, I read a portion of this scripture. It says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He did not say the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. He did not say this was something that has already occurred. He let us know that this is a now situation. He is saying that the love of God is right now and even tomorrow. This is the way the love of God is fully distributed in your heart. It is by the Holy Ghost. That means we have to let Him be the Holy Ghost. We've got to let Him be the Lord of Lords and not just the blesser and the healer and the answer to my prayer. We've got to let Him be everything that He is, and we've got to let Him do everything that He wants to do. And when we allow that to happen, when we submit to the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost will fully distribute, amen, in our hearts His love. That's what shed abroad means. It means to fully distribute. Amen. I don't know how you feel, but there's a world out there and they need to know the love of God. You think people come to church because they just want to know about our doctrine? Most of them don't. Most of them do not care about our doctrine. We care about it. Amen. It's our religious scruples. It's the principles we live by. Amen. But if they come to church, it's because they either have been invited or they've been pressured into coming. Amen. They come because they are your friend or a relative. Or they may be even coming into the church for the first time because they realize that they need God. And they realize that God loves them, that God cares for them. And oh, what a joy it is for them to meet a Christian person, man or woman, that can exhibit and manifest and demonstrate the love of God without respect to persons, without partiality. Amen. The love of God is reaching to this world today, and we are the conduit. We are the body that the Lord is using to express the love of God. I'm talking to you tonight about the heart of Christianity. Before there was a Bible, before there was a scroll, before there was a psalm, before there was an ark built, amen, before we see the ministry of angels on the earth, there was God, and God is love. Before man knew anything about God, God knew everything about us, and he loved us, and he made a way for us. He made a way for salvation. He made a way for deliverance. He made a way that every man, woman, boy, and girl can come to him and know him. Why? It's not because he's smart. It's because he is love. He loves his creation. He loves you and I. That blows my mind, how that God is able to love us in spite of our failure and our sin and things that we have done and said and thought. It blows my mind how God is able to continue loving us. Amen. I wrote here, God's love starts working in our sin-stricken heart, because that is the part of us that needs the most help. It's not your body that needs help. It's your heart. You can change your mind, but you can't change your heart. There's only one power that can change your heart, and that's the power of the love of God that moves in by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can change your mind from day to day, but you cannot change your heart. But if you let God move in, he can make a new heart. He can put his love in your heart, and from your heart will proceed all the issues of your life. Your attitude comes from your heart. Amen. Your behavior comes from your heart. What you say comes from your heart. That's why God wants to work there, because that's the part of us that needs the most help. If we're going to love the world and reach the lost, we've got to have his love in our hearts. Lift your hands to him. We got to have it in our hearts. We got to submit to his working. Years ago, it used to be about just coming to church and having church and, you know, just doing our thing on Sunday and Wednesday and just, you know, go out and just enjoy the blessings of the Lord throughout the week. But lately, it's become a lot more about what I'm talking about tonight. I preached it for years. I've taught it for years, that love is the greatest motivation of Christianity. Love is the greatest motivation of your ministry and your Christian service and what you do and how you live. Love is the greatest motivation of all. And there are many people that are not motivated by love, but they're motivated because, you know, there's strife. They want to be like so-and-so. They think so-and-so's great, and they want to be like so-and-so, and there's some strife in there, and of course some ambition, and in fact there's people today that they bring people to church out of guilt and out of a sense of obligation and responsibility and not out of love. Hello. I want to go ahead and tell you something right now. I didn't have my kids out of guilt and out of obligation to be with my wife. No. Ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I had an affair. We had communion. We came together. We became one. And when that happened, something was deposited. I'm not trying to be vulgar, but I'm trying to help you understand something tonight. Amen. If you're going to love this world, it's because of your relationship with God. And God's able to move in you. God's able to deposit something in your spirit that you cannot create, that you cannot manufacture. You cannot do it by yourself. It takes Him. It takes intimacy. It takes relationship with God through surrender and submission and prayer. Oh, that means you got to lay your will down. You got to lay your what you think is right down, and you got to let Him have His way. And if He has His way, you're going to love others. You're going to reach for others. You're going to overcome all fear, because perfect love casteth out fear. No matter what they look like, love can reach them. Love can get to where they're at. If God can get you to where they're at, surely He can get His love to them. Amen. Let's just wave our hands to the Lord. Amen. A purpose that I'm not going to go so fast that you don't understand, but I want to kind of pace myself a little bit. I want you to really gather what the Word is trying to convey to us. Amen. I've realized that you can have something and not utilize it. You can have something and not really benefit or draw from it. You can have God's love in you, but never exhibit it. Never employ that love. Amen. If you're going to walk with the Lord and be the Christian He wants you and I to be, we have got to submit to God. Amen. We have learned, you know, all of the standards and the letter of the law, and we've learned all of that, but we haven't learned the love part yet. Now, I might just be speaking to two or three. That's the part we need to love first. That's the part we need to get first, rather. Amen. Because love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Some people are truly, yeah, even in the apostolic ranks, they live for God as if they're living in the Old Testament. Truly. I've seen it for years. I've seen generational Pentecostals. They live for God as if they're living under the law of Moses. And they're not walking in liberty, and they're not walking in the love of God, and some of them have never won a soul. I wonder why. I wonder why. Because if you love God and God dwells in you, and God, who is spirit, has His way, He will shed abroad. He will fully distribute in your heart His love. And by His love, we will love people. We will love others. We will reach for others. Somebody say amen. We can have it, possess it, and never utilize it. We can neglect it. We can disregard it. Why would we do such a thing? Well, because we're human. We're sometimes full of pride, and we're strong will. We have a strong will, don't we? The will of man is the hardest will to be broken. We can break the will of the devil. In fact, we can break his back and immobilize him. Somebody say amen. But the self-will, the human will, is the hardest will to break. That's why if God's love is going to be active in your life to the point where you demonstrate, you manifest, you exhibit His love everywhere that you go, it's going to require constant, daily submission. Somebody raise your hand and say, Lord, help me to submit to You. Help me to submit to You. Help me to submit to the working of Your Spirit and the application of the Word of God. Oh, Lord. I don't want to do this because I see it as a duty or an obligation. I want to do this out of love. amen, our attitudes and our desires, they get in the way. They smother, they inhibit the love of God from getting out, from rising, and from being manifested. Amen. What do you mean my attitude can get in the way? Yes, mine has. I can look in the mirror and tell myself that my attitude has gotten in the way. I have, through my attitude, I have inhibited and I've smothered and I've suffocated the working and the manifestation of the love of God that wanted to touch somebody and talk to somebody and reach somebody and pray for somebody. But because of an attitude of jealousy and anger and resentment and arrogance and pride and other things found in the scripture, I smothered, I suffocated, I inhibited the love of God from being manifested through my life. Somebody say, woe is me. We do let our feelings, we do let our thoughts get in the way of God's active love. Love is active. Love isn't it. We think love's a feeling. Love's not. We say, oh, I love you. And you know, I said that before to my wife, years ago, I was probably 18 years old, and I didn't even know what love was. I love you. She looked at me like I was stupid. I think she was 17 or so. You know, we were kids in love. We thought, you know how that puppy love is. It's all about a feeling, isn't it? But how many knows when you serve the Lord, it's not about a feeling. Now, a feeling can follow, but I don't serve the Lord because I feel it. I serve the Lord because I know He loves me, and I want to be with Him, and I want Him to be with me. I serve Him because I have knowledge of Him. Amen. That knowledge tells me that I can get close to God, and God can dwell in me. It's not about a feeling. A feeling can follow. You can have feelings. That's a part of it. Thank God we can feel something tonight. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. But if God's going to have His way, we have to humble ourselves. We have to submit to His working daily. Let me read something to you in the book of Corinthians chapter 13. This I read this, and you've read it. Some of you have been in church your whole life, and you've read this. You've heard it preached 1,000 times, more or less. And you say, oh, he's preaching about love again. Well, God is love. And the love of God should never get old. Here we go. Corinthians chapter 13. I begin reading verse number 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not. Notice the wording there. He said, and have not. He didn't say, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and love not God. Look how it's written. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not. Having means you possess. It is there with you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. I wonder why he's writing this to the church. That sounds absurd, doesn't it? He's writing that to me. The audacity for him to tell me, a born-again believer, that if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What nerve does he have telling me that? I love God. It's not about you loving God. It's about you letting God put His love in you so that you can do His will in the earth. Everybody today says, I love God, but that's not the question. The question is His God working in you to the point where you love everybody, no matter where they are, what they look like, what they've done, how bad they've hurt you? Love will forgive them over and over and over again. Love will not shun you in public, but love will go to you and embrace you and communicate to you. I'm telling you, there is nothing like the love of God. He said, I can teach, I can preach, I can sing with tongues of men and tongues of angels, but if I do not have and possess and embody charity, I'm become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And then he goes further and says, and though I have the gift of prophecy That tells me you can be one gifted individual. And the gift of prophecy is one of those strong gifts. I'm telling you, you got the gift of prophecy operating in your life. People are going to look at you and they're going to want to hear what you have to say because that gift is operating in your life. And you do draw attention, amen, because of that gift that's operating in your life. But he's telling us, he's telling the Corinthians church, he says, if you have the gift of prophecy and if you understand all mysteries and you have all knowledge and you have all faith, blows my mind that you can have a gift. You can understand mysteries. You can get revelations from God. You can have all knowledge. You can have all faith so that you can literally remove mountains. But he said, if you do not have charity, if you do not embody charity, you are nothing. That should convict our hearts. Oh, God. That means I can do what I do from day to day, from week to week, from Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday to Wednesday, out of obligation, out of the praise of the people and the adoration and the accolades. I can do it for the applause. Amen. I can do all those things. But the Lord just got in my face and he told me, boy, if you have all understand all mysteries and you have all faith and you have the gifts operating in your life and you have all of these things going for you, if you do not embody, if you do not possess my love. He didn't say if you don't love God. Everybody says they love God. But the question is, do you have charity living and abiding in your life? How does it happen? It happens when you let him be the Lord of everything that you are and everything that you'll be and every place that you go. You let him call the shots. It's pretty tough. Oh, I'm going to wind this down very quickly. I guess I'm preaching it so passionately because of how the Lord gave it to me. He gave it to me while I was in prayer. I was simply talking to him and surrendering to him. And he began to just speak to me very softly and reveal to me the heart of what we call Christianity. There are people that have literally given love a bad name by misrepresenting Jesus. They got all the works right. They got all the standards right. They done everything they thought was worthy of acceptance. But there was one thing missing. And that one thing disqualified them from being anything. And that one thing was charity. The Crusaders, I don't know, it was back in the 12th or 13th century. The Crusaders, I guess it was with the Catholic Church, they went and killed everybody and tried to either convert or be killed. Remember that? You probably heard it, read it, seen a movie about it or something. They literally gave Christianity a bad name because they were not motivated by love. They had their own agenda. They had their own motivation. It wasn't driven by love at all. Because love does not do harm to anybody. The Bible says that love edifies. Love will build you up. Love will bless you. Love will not hurt you, injure you, or think ill towards you. Is that in the Bible? Am I in the Bible tonight? Amen. Sister Bishop, come to the keyboard if you're here tonight. I'm on page one, and obviously I'm not going to have time to continue this. This is a message that I taught to our young people several weeks ago, and I want to tell you it moved them. It moved these young people. Because young people do things out of pressure, not out of love. They do things out of simple obedience. Even if they disagree with mama and daddy and pastor and preacher, they do things because they know that if they don't they're going to stand out like a sore thumb. So they praise when it's time to praise. They sing when it's time to sing. They wear what we tell them they should wear. They don't do it necessarily out of love. They do it out of respect and out of simply submission to authority. They do. But there's going to come a time in their life where they walk in total submission to God Himself. Amen. And they're going to be led by love. To be led of the Spirit is to be led by love. Not by power, not by authority, not led by gifts, but led by the Spirit. That means, because, hear me, listen. You know, to be led by the Spirit, don't think it means to be led by the raw power of God. No. God has all power. But what is God? God is love. So to be led by the Spirit is to be led by love, dominated by love. Love dictates my thinking. Love dictates my attitude. Love influences my behavior and my conduct and the way I treat people and the way I handle situations. Do I always yield to it? Sadly, no. I don't always yield to the love of God, but God's bringing me back, and He said, boy, this is my heart. This is what I'm all about. It's because I love humanity that I will come in a body and I will sacrifice that body and I will redeem mankind back to me. He doesn't do that because He's holy. Now we know that. We know He's holy God. He's morally perfect. He does that because He loves us. Love will do crazy things. We think it's crazy to forgive someone who is done harm to us. But if Jesus can forgive them, and Jesus lives in me, and if I let Jesus live and dwell and abide and remain and continue in me, then I'm going to manifest that love also. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I know I've been kind of slow and kind of just touched here and there, and I haven't been, you know, running and just kind of preaching up a great message. But I hope that you hear the Spirit of God. I hope that you can hear tonight what the Spirit of God is saying to you. I dare say the Spirit of God is speaking to the church tonight. The words that I've read to you from the New Testament are words that are written to the church. They're words that are written to the born-again believer, those who are born of God. And He's telling us that through knowledge, through knowing Him, that is through relationship, continual relationship, that God will be able to deposit His love and fully distribute it in our lives until it becomes full and complete. It will drive out all fear. It will enable you to love everyone. And if love becomes your motivation, then you have fully understood the heart of Christianity. The Bible says in Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. That means love needs to be without hypocrisy, without pretense, without deception, and without disguise. You ever heard somebody say, man, I sure do love them, but they'll talk about them. I mean, they'll just run their name in the dirt. You don't love them. You lying to yourself. Self-deception is the worst deception of all. That's just an opinion, not a doctrine. But it says, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, without pretense, without deception, without disguise. You see, because having partial love or love with dissimulation can be deceiving. It's kind of like telling a partial truth. It can be deceiving. Am I right? And it can also be misleading. There's a lot of people that have done things with a partial or pretense love. And they have misrepresented Jesus and what He is trying to accomplish. 2 Corinthians 6:6 says, that we did this by love unfeigned. That means pure love, genuine love, true love. Why is love so important? Well, if you read the Bible, as a Christian man or woman, we can be compelled, we can be constrained, we can be controlled by love. We speak the truth in love. We walk in love. We're grounded in love. We're edified in love. We're knit together in love. We labor in love and by love. I'm going to read this verse to you. I've got a lot more information, but I'm going to close it. Let me find it here. Somebody turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. I'm going to read this verse to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is your mission. Brother Donovan, that's your mission. Katie Ann, April, there's your mission. Sisters, there it is. From the back to the front, from center to circumference. Sister Dawn, there it is. That's it. That's it. Right there. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond, and the original text says, of perfection. What do you think? One of the reasons we have a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. When you have been perfected by love, you have fulfilled the righteousness of not the law, but you have fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And Jesus said, on these commandments hang all the law and all the prophets, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you do that just by coming to church and paying your tithes? Well, that might be part of it. But you do that through your personal relationship with God. Above all, put on charity. Because charity is the bond of perfection. It is what completely unifies the church. It's what makes us a true Christian. The love of God. I want to live away. Pray for a moment. Come on, do you want to let the Lord do a work in your life? I realize that we're talking to people that you have been in this your whole life. Hallelujah. And maybe you've got most of it right, but maybe there's something missing that's going to enable you and empower you to reach beyond complacency and beyond passivity and beyond what you have thought, amen, to be the normality in your life. Amen. God's love is the greatest motivation. It's the very heart of all Christianity. It's why I'm here today. It's why I'm preaching the gospel today. Amen. It's why I'm trying to do the will of God today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not only because I love Him, but because His love is abiding in me. God is dwelling in us. Let Him continue. to do the work that he has started to do in your life. One more time, let's raise our hands to him and sing. I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. Pray one for another as we close. I want to live.